Why does it seem that Jesus blesses some people more than others? Why does it seem that Jesus blesses some people more than others? And a similar question is asked in today's gospel by the disciples. They ask Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? So they realize Jesus is speaking to the crowds in parables, but he only gives the explanation to them. Why? We took a Facebook poll a few days ago of our parish. About 220 people responded, and 65% of us said, in this COVID time, we've received more blessings than crosses. That's great. 27% said it's about the same, equal number of blessings and crosses. Unfortunately, 8% of us said we're receiving more crosses than blessings. And I said 4 months ago that our rallying cry was to be closer, holier, stronger, and bolder. And 65 to 77% of us have said, that's actually happened. That's really good. But here's the thing. Jesus wants 100% of us to say we're receiving more blessings than crosses. And so we have to start asking ourselves, what's going on? Why aren't we receiving all the blessings Jesus wants to give us? We're now in this season in the parish. We call it Sabbath summer. Time to slow down, time to reflect. And I would just want to show you how you can receive all the blessings Jesus wants to give you. The context for the gospel is this. Jesus had given the famous Sermon on the Mount a while ago, as opposed to what we hear today in Matthew chapter 13. He had given the famous Sermon on the Mount. It was very clear spiritual moral teaching, and it was given to everyone. And then after that, he worked 9 miracles to demonstrate that he's the Son of God. And he taught about discipleship. And then something really interesting happened. There is opposition to him. And it started to become clear who's open to Jesus and who isn't. And so because of this opposition, Jesus starts changing his style of teaching, and he starts using parables. No more does he give a clear teaching, because parables, the meaning is sometimes hidden. It's not always directly clear. It's supposed to communicate a truth, but it's not always obvious. So he changes his style of teaching to wake people up, because some people are opposed to him. And today he gives this parable of the sower. And right after that parable, it says, the disciples came and asked Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? Because they just realize, oh, you're changing your style of teaching. You were so clear. You used a few parables before, but mainly it was very clear teaching. Now you're changing, because after this, he's going to give 8 parables in a row. He answered, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Okay, so what does that mean? To those who have, more will be given. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And the answer is openness, faith, and commitment. So those who are truly open to Jesus, they always get more, always receive more blessings. But to those of us who are closed, we cut ourselves off from blessings. I can't remember who said it, but it's a great analogy. This person said that faith in Jesus is like moving from outside of a church to inside. So if you ever go outside a church with stained glass windows, if you go outside, you'll notice they look very dark. So if you were to do this today, for those of us who are here, if you look outside at our stained glass windows, you'll see it's all dark. It just looks like metal rods welded together. But faith in Jesus moves you inside the church. So when you're inside a church, what do stained glass windows look like? You see all the colors. You see the picture. I wonder if you've ever noticed in your life that when there's a hard teaching of Jesus and you really try to understand it, when you really try, eventually you get it. But when there's a reluctance in our heart where we say, you'll never get it because you're not open. And then the third thing, if we make a commitment to Jesus, we stay close to him and we receive the blessings. But if we don't make that commitment, our relationship with him it can be very distant. So we don't receive what he wants to give us. Jesus continues, the reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. This actually sounds kind of harsh, but Jesus, right after this, he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and during Isaiah's time, the people of God, they rejected God. They're so stubborn, very hard of heart, and God basically said, so be it. If you don't want me in your life, that's your punishment. I will respect your free will. So I want to give you three truths today based on this parable of the sower, based on the path, the rocky ground, and the thorns. And if we can follow these three truths of faith, you're going to receive so many blessings. And I also want to challenge a lot of you who have been at this church for at least 6 years. I'll tell you why. As your spiritual father, a lot of us, we talk. And I notice a lot of you are having the same problems in your faith year after year after year. 6 years is too long, because some of you bring to me the stuff that we're going to talk about in a minute. And I think to myself, we talk about this every year in the homily. And you're surprised. There's something not connecting here. So this is a deliberate repetition. Everything, if you've been here for 6 years, you're going to think, oh, I've heard that before. Yeah, but you have to start living it, because you keep on falling into the same trap over and over again. And I need to challenge you right now. When you have struggles in your faith, your temptation is to say, oh, because my situation's so hard, and you might even blame God. You have to stop that. It's no one else's fault. It's your responsibility. So I think, I don't know if that's too hard, but I'm saying it out of love. So if it's 6 years, you need to get on this stuff. If you've only been here for 1 year, I'm going to cut you a bit of slack. Now, here's the first truth, the path. Seed falling on the path means this: when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. So the key phrase here is what, not understanding the kingdom. So what is the kingdom? Very simple. The kingdom is God's family. So Jesus came to build the kingdom of God. That means he came to build the family of God, to reunite us all with the Father, all together in the church. And how are families made? By covenants. How is a marriage made? A covenant between man and woman. How does adoption happen? It's a covenant between the parent and the child. So if we realize Jesus made a covenant with us and we've made a covenant with him, you can't lose your faith. That's really good news, because a lot of people say, I think I'm losing my faith. Not if it's a covenant. If you've made a lifelong commitment to Jesus, you can't lose it. So sometimes people will say, I think I'm losing my faith, or they say, well, I stopped practicing my faith. Let's be more clear. The truth is, they stopped loving Jesus, and they chose to. When things got hard, they got lazy. Again, that might be hard to hear, but that's the reality, because if faith is a covenant, you can never lose it. That's beautiful. Second truth, rocky ground. This is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. So this metaphor has to do with the right and wrong expectations of Jesus. What do we expect of Jesus? So when we become his disciples, and we choose to follow him, we do it because we think he'll make our life better, and it does. And that's good, that's normal. But you have to have still the right expectations, realistic expectations of Jesus. So there are a lot of Christians, they say, my life is so hard. I thought if I follow Jesus, everything would be good. They might not say it, but they believe it. Because that's why they fall away when things get hard. There's some Christians who expect God to give them the job, a good job, and the job they actually want. So this is one of the dividing lines between mature Christians and immature Christians. Mature Christians know Jesus didn't promise us an easier life. Why would Jesus magically give easier life to Christians? He didn't say that. He promised to give a better life. So he didn't promise an easier life, but a better life, the fullness of life. So Jesus didn't promise us we'll always get into the right school program, or that he would end pandemics. So some people fall away because of the pandemic. But hang on, a year ago you were following Jesus very happily, so what's changed? Life got hard. But that's an unrealistic expectation of Jesus. The third truth, thorns. This is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. So if we can just focus there on that, those two points, cares of the world, the lure of wealth, cares of the world. All of us, we're so busy. The lure of wealth. There's a part in all of us that we want achievement apart from God. We want the success apart from God. And when we're there, we're focusing on superficial happiness, superficial levels of happiness. Jesus is always focusing on deep levels of happiness. And when we're focused on the superficial, we're always thinking about feelings. We want to feel good. And so a common temptation for many Christians is, I don't feel close to God. What's happened? I used to pray. I'd go to the chapel and things would feel so good. I felt so close to God. Now I don't feel close to Him. Yeah, that's not the most important question. Do you feel close to God? The more important question is, are you close to God? There's a difference between feeling and being close to God. The medieval era was called the Age of Faith. So much faith in that time. And then afterwards, the so-called Age of Reason. Now what do we live in? The Age of Feelings. Everything revolves around our feelings. And so if we don't feel close to God, it's like the end of the world. But that's not true. A lot of people are close to God, but they don't feel close to God. I don't always feel close to God. That doesn't surprise me at all. You have to focus more on love and less on your feelings. So St. John, the apostle, says, God is love. God is love. If you're loving, you're close to God. Isn't that great? All you have to do is love, and you're close. Boom, magical. But if we're not loving, then we're not close to God. And the feelings are secondary. Feelings come and go. So here's the beautiful news. If we focus more on love and being close to God, you know what will happen? You'll feel close to God eventually. But you can't focus on the feelings at the beginning. You have to focus on love. So we have now a time for self-reflection. And so which of these three truths would help you most to grow in faith? Is it one? Faith means a covenant, a lifelong commitment on our part, and that can never be snatched away. Is it two? Faith means having the right expectations of Jesus. Three, faith means not focusing on feeling close to God, but on being close to Him. We have time for the rest of this Mass just to reflect on this. And if we can, I really hope we can make a choice in our heart where we can say, yeah, you know what, Jesus, I do want to make that lifelong commitment. It's always been there, but I really want to ratify it. And I want to stop, I've held you to unrealistic expectations. I'm not going to expect those things in my life. I want to expect the deeper blessings. And then you might say, okay, I'm not going to really focus anymore on feeling close to you. I'm just going to try to love you and be close to you. If we take that Facebook poll again in 4 months, my hope as your spiritual father is that we can all say, 100% of us, I'm receiving more blessings than crosses, because that's what Jesus wants for all of us. I told you 4 years ago about a woman named Janet Moylan, a wife and mother of five. In 1996, the whole family goes to Mexico for vacation. 10-year-old daughter Jenny's on the beach playing. A big tidal wave comes in, sweeps her out, comes crashing on her, sweeps her out. Husband Tim runs in to save her. They both get pulled out. They both drown. And Janet's world, she said, collapsed in a moment. But when I read her story again, it's one of my favorite stories. I kept on noticing how many times she said she is blessed. And I was thinking, wow, how is she seeing all these blessings, these profound blessings in her life? She said right after the deaths of her husband and daughter, she knew she was filled with the Holy Spirit because she was able to comfort one of her sons. She said it was a blessing to have her family with her. She was comforted by others' prayers. At the funeral, she said, God did not let me down. A year later, she wrote, as always, God was very good to me. He blessed me with a dream that gave me great comfort. How did she get to that level of faith where she's getting all these blessings? And she says this, several months after Tim and Jenny died, I heard Dr. James Dobson on the radio talking about how people deal with tragedy. Dr. Dobson pointed out that you either choose God or despair. I thought emphatically that I had chosen God and would continue to do so. And she expressed that choice with a commitment to prayer. Always praying, especially the rosary, reading the Bible and spiritual books. She said she lost kind of her interest in secular novels. And when her church opened up an adoration chapel, she signed up for an hour a week. Why does Jesus seem to bless some people more than others? It's because some people are more open, some people have made an act of faith, and some people have committed themselves to him.